I'll go on to number 16, a deer drying follow-up. Mr. Martin, are you going to handle that one for us?
Yep. Can you guys hear me?
We can.
All right. I'll try to share my screen here. Can you guys see that?
I can see it.
All right. Well, good afternoon, commissioners. Carol, Secretary Roebling, just a follow-up from my presentation last month on the changes to the deer draw structure. As I mentioned, 2018 was when we changed the structure. The primary change was limiting it to two choices in the first two draws instead of the six choices they had before. The primary goals of that were to get more hunters in the field and increase the hunter's chance of drawing the preferred license. And as I mentioned, by design, that was accomplished, the extent of which is debatable. But regardless, just simply limiting the number of applications is going to increase success. Distributed the licenses to more hunters, not many more, but again, talked about the limitations last month. Allowing two choices instead of one didn't make it as effective. But take home was success increased, and primarily that success increased East River, Muzzleloader Refuge, and Custer State Park, because those were the four seasons that people decided to drop out their applications when they're limited to two. So after that presentation, there was four primary questions that came up. The first two were kind of regarding customer satisfaction or human dimension surveys, looking at if we looked at how satisfied people were after that change was implemented. The second thing was whether people dropped out because of that change. And then the third one was, well, what if we limited it to just one choice? How many more hunters would we get? And then finally, Commissioner Locken asked about cubing of preference points and how that maybe affects draws. So I'll touch on each one of those. The first two are pretty simple. We haven't done any formal human dimension surveys, so we can't quantify exactly how people, I guess, approved or did not like the change that was implemented in 2018. Likewise, we don't have information on exactly why people either decided to continue applying, came in new, or dropped out. The only thing we really have for that is a term referred to as churn, looking at the number of hunters that we get year in, year out versus ones that drop out and the ones that come in. What we've seen over the last 6 years is on average from year to year, we see about 80% of the hunters are either applying or purchasing preference points from 1 year to the next. And then we see about the same number of new people coming in and people going out. That's about 1 in 5. We did see a slightly higher rate of dropouts compared to new applicants, and that's why we saw that very slow decreasing trend in number of applicants for resident firearm deer hunters. So getting into a little bit more data with questions 3 and 4, what if we limited to one choice? It's a little bit difficult to make a good estimate on exactly how many more hunters we would have. What we do know is that there's 5,476 buck licenses on average from the past 3 years that were purchased by hunters that already had one license. So if we did something extreme like limited to one buck license per resident firearm hunter, we could potentially have over 5,000 more new hunters. Obviously, that would be an extreme change. We're just talking about here, what if we limited it to one choice through the first two draws? And all we can really say with a lot of confidence is it's somewhere between 0 and 5,476. The reason we really can't nail that down any better is because we have no idea what these hunters are going to apply for if they're given one choice. There's lots of units, West River, East River, and then obviously the other three seasons, there's several choices there as well. Hunters in South Dakota, they monitor draw success very closely. Obviously, there's lots of social media and other outlets to find out where big bucks are, good success is. So people aren't necessarily just going to randomly pick one of their two choices. They're going to go to maybe highly sought-after units and optimize the draws. So, again, not too helpful between 0 and 5,400, but we know for sure we would add more hunters. Again, the extent of which, how many more hunters we want with one license versus how many we want with two or three, that's a complete social issue and beyond the scope of just analyzing the data here. So then finally, just briefly touch on our preference point structure. Interesting conversation came up about the elk petition, and a lot of the comments were regarding our draw structure for that as well. And elk, deer, bighorn sheep, a lot of our draw structures are very similar. So I'll just kind of give an overview of what options we have. Right now, we're sitting at the figure in the bottom right there with the cube reference points. But if you pay attention to the top two figures, those might be looked at as two extreme situations. And I think the most important thing to note is a lot of discontent or upset hunters come when we see point creep. And that's not necessarily happening as much with deer. We do see it with elk. But point creep would be defined as each year there's more new applicants coming in compared to applicants going out, whether they're moving out of state, they quit applying for whatever reason. If that happens, the wait time is going to continue to increase. So this vertical gray line you see on all of these figures at 9 years basically says, on average, you're going to wait 9 years till you get a license. So the way I think about this is if you're filling up your car with oil and you've got a filter and you pour that oil in, the filter fills up and it gets to a certain level before you can't pour any more out of that jug of oil, otherwise the filter is going to overflow. So that's your wait time, and obviously if you keep pouring oil in at the same rate it's going through the bottom of the funnel, that level can stay the exact same. So if new applicants are the exact same as applicants going out, you're going to keep that wait time the same. So we kind of see that fairly consistent with deer. We'll probably get some point creep in some units. But regardless, if we had a 9-year wait in a particular unit, we could either implement no preference, which is not what we do in South Dakota. Some states do this. In that situation, everyone just gets one vote. It's a random draw. Still, on average, every 9 years, you're going to get a license. But the person with 0 years applying stands the exact same chance as someone that may have been applying for 30 years. The difference is going to be pure preference, and this idea is brought up a lot. People say, well, if I got more preference points, I want to be guaranteed the license before someone with pure preference points. And that certainly is an option that could work. What we see in some units that are really tough to draw, let's say Custer State Park elk that takes over 40 years to draw, that means anyone that starts applying, if you're 30 years old, you're going to be waiting a minimum till you're 70 years old to get that license. So nobody with less points would even stand a chance of getting that license. And what you see is maybe that's a little bit of a deterrent to people with fewer preference points since they stand no chance at all. But again, it could be an option, especially with some of these shorter wait times. What we did with cubing preferences, we basically went from this bottom left scenario where you basically get your name in the hat once for each preference point. You can see people with less than that average of 9 years expected wait, they have some chance. But because we're not changing supply or demand, that has to take away from opportunity somewhere else. So you can see people to the right of that vertical gray line in that bottom figure on the left, they have a lower than 100% probability. So someone with 14 years of preference, they're obviously going to get upset if they've been applying 14 years and they see people 4 years getting the tag, but that's just what you do in this system with maybe more of a standard preference. So if you want to move that to be more of a pure preference, you do something like Q preference, do something extreme, maybe raise it to the 10th power. You could have almost something that replicates the pure preference system in the top right. So all we're simply doing was we were shifting the, I guess you'd call the slope of that curve or the shape of that curve from the lower left figure to the lower right figure when we cube preference. We definitely do not change the expected wait time. We don't affect point creep at all. All we do is we give a higher percent chance or a more close to guaranteed chance of people that have been applying for more years as opposed to people with fewer preference points. I didn't touch on tiered systems at all here, but it's a similar concept. You can do tiered systems to more closely represent pure preference versus shifting it back towards that no preference in the top left. With that, I can take any questions.
Commissioner Spring.
Do you have any data on how many tags are sent back because of the EHD problem for Western South Dakota?
I don't have that data for this year. If you're asking Fisk or someone else with licensing might have that exact number for this year.
Mr. Chairman, this is Tom Kirschman, the Director of Wildlife Division. Commissioner Spring, at the January meeting, we will bring forward a summary of all of the return licenses from this hunting season. I can share with you that there are probably in the thousands of licenses that have been returned for both the West River deer season, East River deer season in totality. One of the challenges will be to know if it was specifically because of EHD or some other reasons, but we certainly believe the majority of those that were returned were related to the EHD outbreak that occurred. But at the time that we started pulling information together for this commission meeting, we were still compiling and dealing with some of those tags that we had returned right before the East River deer season began. And so we just weren't ready to present all that, but we will do a summary of return licenses, EHD impacts, and those related topics associated with that at the January commission meeting.
Mr. Sharp, thank you. Tom, or on the charts they showed up there, it appeared that the peer preference, I'm sorry, not the peer preference, the standard preference looked like it leveled out opportunity a tad more than the cube preference. Is the way those charts look, is that what the department expected to see when we went to the QB?
Andrew, I'll let you chime in first.
Sorry. So I just shared the screen. I don't know. I took it off now to hit it off mute. But, yeah, that's just how that kind of the probabilities work. I guess it's just a programming thing, so it's random probability with cubing points. If you have more than the expected wait time, you're just automatically going to stand better chance. But it's like if someone buys 100 lottery tickets and someone buys one lottery ticket, that person with one lottery ticket still stands a chance of winning. So that's, I think, a lot of the time what happens is you get individuals that have waited more than the expected wait time, and I can understand why there'd be a lot of frustration there. But yeah, I mean, that's basically what the shape changes is. It kind of represents more of that peer preference where you wait longer, you're going to stand a much better chance of drawing.
Mr. Chairman, again, Commissioner, with the cubing, when we implemented that 5 years ago, approximately, it initially started in particular around elk drawing success and what were some ways that under our current system could we enhance that probability of those individuals with a higher number of preference points to successfully draw versus others, and that's where we went to the cubing part of it. That then carried over into deer and antelope and all the other limited draws that we do as well. So yes, I mean, that expectation is the folks that have a higher number of preference points have a much higher likelihood with the cubing concept implemented with it as well to draw those licenses. Now, I would also offer to you, though, while that does happen, our system also still provides those individuals with fewer numbers that opportunity or that potential to draw a tag as well. So I would say in general, yes, what has happened with the cubing was basically what we expected. At what point in time does it not have that same impact as the next question then? And that's something that we'll have to continue to monitor and evaluate.
Mr. Lockett.
Commissioner Lockett here. Just a quick question on this cubing. When we're talking about cubing, what bothers me specifically is probably the more highly thought after licenses. Somebody mentioned Custer State Park Elk. I know we had somebody that in the last couple of years that passed away hunting elk. I think had a heart attack because of the family wanted a memorial. Was asking for a Memorial Day to honor the person, which I don't think fit our model. And the other thing is, we heard people talk about being able to will pass their preference points on to the next generation or to a friend or something, which also makes me a little uncomfortable. And I'm wondering if we're selling these preference points and saying we're cubing them, are we locked into cubing them, or work good for the younger generation to be doing this. That's where I feel comfortable with it. Do you understand what I mean?
Mr. Chairman, Commissioner, are we locked into cubing for the next 3 years, 5 years, 15 years? The simple answer is no. I mean, that is a policy decision by the department and the commission working hand in hand on our drawing structures. It's not in statute. It's not in rule. If it was in rule, you know, you can change administrative rules. It's an approach that we took to enhance the probability of folks to draw those preferred licenses. But there's nothing that says that we have to do that approach. Again, the advantage of the system is that as we evaluate, monitor, and things change, and we see how things develop, we always have that opportunity to look at it and go, do we continue this? Do we change it? Do we modify it? Where do we go next? And so are we locked in? No. We want to be careful, not constantly changing and taking a new approach. People get accustomed and acquired to one approach, then they have the expectations of the approach that's in place at the moment. So we want to be careful and cognizant of those things, but we have the ability to adjust as we see fit and appropriate.
Other questions?
Mr. Chairman?
Commissioner Spring?
Tom, could you go through, my understanding of the cubic deal, there's a certain percentage of the licenses go with the LPO to under 10 common preferences, so many more go to 10 to 20. Could you go through that just to, is that the way it is? Could you go through that and say the percentages and whatever?
Yeah. Mr. Chairman and Commissioner Spring. So here's where I have the ability to phone a friend, right? And that is what I'm going to do. But before I ask Keith to jump in from licensing, the answer is yes. You know, for Elk in particular, we do have a different approach for Custer State Park and those allocations than what we do for the Black Hills part of it. And there are percentages set aside for those with certain number of preference points. Keith, I know you're listening. Why don't you chime in here and provide a few more details and the specifics on how that works for the elk drawing side of this. The cubing is added on top of the number of preference, but there's an allocation based on the number of preference points for our applicants out there as well. Keith?
He was having trouble connecting when he gave his presentation.
Okay.
What John said. Now, my preference point, that's only one a year, right? Somebody can't just put up 1.55. One a year.
Yep, you're limited to one preference point per year, per season.
I want to clarify that.
Correct.
Mr. Chair?
Go ahead, Keith.
Oh, sorry about that. I don't know. I had another technical problem here. I was talking, but you folks weren't listening, so my apologies, or weren't hearing. So in regards to Commissioner Spring's question on the, let's call them preference pools, if you will, for our elk season. So, for example, people that have 10 years or more of preference, 30% of the tags in a specific unit would be allocated to those folks. 15% is going to be allocated to people with 2 years or more, and then there's going to be 5% allocated that have 0 years of preference. So again, even folks that don't have preference still are going to have a chance. And I failed to mention, of course, in any elk unit, 50% right off the top is going to be set aside and available to landowners. Now, in cases where all 50% don't go to those landowners, let's say there's one license left, that would roll down and be in that category of those people that have 10 years or more. Does that make sense?
Yep, it does, Keith. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. Secretary Rosen.
Just one thing to add there as well. When those folks in that top tier, that 30% bracket, if they don't get drawn, they fall down to the next bracket as well. So their names aren't pulled out of the draw. So let's say you have somebody with 20 points that does not get drawn in that 30%, they'll then fall into the 15, and then they will fall down into the 5. So that's where you'll see the folks that have even 25 years points in that 5% bracket.
You're looking at me when you said, are you talking about me with my 20 years that never gets drawn? Or Commissioner Bees.
Commissioner Bees here. In January, when you bring that report on the licenses that are been turned back, will you do not an overall one, but by unit? And then will we have success rate in each unit? So if we have a disease outbreak, EHD in the unit, very few people turn license back in, we'll see what their success rate is. And then, because if we don't do that comparison, then we come back and throw that new more tag on that unit again next year, the beer numbers drop very fast.
Yeah. Commissioner, yes, we'll break it down by season. We'll certainly have the ability to break it down by unit for a rifle season. But for example, people that turn back an archery tag, we won't have a unit specific where they would have hunted or not hunted, correct? Just based on how those licenses are used. In respect to a success part of it, that will not be part of our report because we won't have that hunter success yet on that information. That'll take a little bit longer. So our focus will be on just the number of licenses by season, by units where we can, and give you the overall rundown of those licenses returned from these hunting seasons. Hunter harvest will come at a later time, but obviously, yes, we know the issues that occurred out there this year. We know we may have to adjust, right, in particular certain areas because of the EHD outbreak, and we will have to bring forward recommendations to you to adjust licenses accordingly in certain areas because of that.
Any other questions? I know that, every time we get going on our draw and the preference point system, you could spend an entire commission afternoon dealing with the subject. It seems like I get stopped weekly by experts that could solve all of our problems for us because they have the answers to how we could fix this. But, if you had to wave the magic wand, Tom, what's the one thing that maybe we should be looking at over the next 2 years? That would help increase some of that. I mean, other than finding some way for our biologists to put something in the water so we're getting two fallen elk and bigger mule deer populations and bigger goat populations. But what is there something that we should be looking at in your groups and you look at different things across the other state boundaries that maybe we could tweak to bring about better customer satisfaction?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, at the end of the day, the one thing that is going to increase our satisfaction for hunters is more deer with more opportunities to draw that license. And so for us as an agency right now, and I don't mean to make this sound cliche, but our objective is to have more deer out there, and in particular in areas where we know deer numbers are lower. Other areas our deer numbers are doing well, are doing fine. That may not be the focus point, but how are we going to do that? And we've talked time and time again is habitat and access. I wish we had a silver bullet to say we could do this or that to never have to deal with EHD again. And again, unfortunately, it rose its ugly head this year and really was very, very potent in certain areas and had a high impact. We know that for certain. Unfortunately, we don't have a remedy to cure or prevent EHD. Other than rain, and that we don't have the dry conditions and the mud flats to create the perfect environment for those biting midges. So that's what we're going to focus on. From a standpoint of license structures, different ways to distribute licenses, you're right, Mr. Chairman. You could probably put a list up on the board today with 35 different or new ideas or ideas we've talked about before. And there probably is a bunch of them that have a certain level of merit, right? And they're going to make certain adjustments for certain desires or needs, which may also have a negative impact on some other desires or needs of other people as well. And that is the most challenging thing when it comes to distribution of licenses to our hunters. Supply and demand, and then how do you distribute this? And there's just no simple or easy way to do it because there's certainly a lot of different philosophies. There's a lot of different desires. And unfortunately, we're not going to be able to make 100% of our users happy. Now, that all being said, let's back up just a little bit here. 3 years ago, as a commission body working with the department, with a lot of input from our users out there, we put in our current deer drawing structure. And that was a significant change from what we had used prior for quite some time. We've heard positive, we've heard neutral, and we've heard negative about the current deer drawing structure. What we did say back 3 years ago is at the end of 3 years that we, the department, and you as a commission, we would look at that and try to decide and determine, did we meet the two main objectives of the overall approach, which Andrew just went over? And at the end of the day, did we meet those objectives? Yes. We got more hunters in the field, and we did increase the opportunity to draw or have a better chance of drawing their preferred licenses. Now, was that evenly occurring and distributed across all the seasons? No. Andrew talked about them, but in particular, you look at the East River deer season, refuge season, muzzleloader in particular, Custer State Park, those four seasons, we did see more people getting their preferred license by the structure that's in place. So that was positive, very positive. And we heard some really positive comments from the hunters in particular that like to hunt and take advantage of the opportunities that those seasons provide. What we did see is the West River deer season, Black Hills, there was basically no change in the folks getting their preferred licenses. And that's probably somewhat of a byproduct of what we learned is that the West River deer season is the most highest demand deer hunting season we have now in South Dakota. But it certainly helped some of our East River hunters. And again, we got more hunters out in the field, and that was one of our primary objectives. So when we look at that in its totality over the past 3 years, I would sit before you today and say our recommended change at this point in time is not to make any changes to the deer drawing structure as we have it. That doesn't mean that this is the end of that conversation, right? And we know that there's more discussions to be had. But based on the fact that we met those two objectives, and again, you could have all kinds of discussions. Did it go far enough? Did we do enough? But we also have a lot of deer hunters out there that were not negatively impacted. They got their license and they got to go deer hunting, and we got a few more people out there. What I also offer to you in 2023 is when we will be set to update and renew the deer management plan as well. And so what we would envision from our end is over the next 2 years, we continue to monitor this, and we would have 5 years of data then when we do the deer management plan of how this deer drawing structure is or is not working, and see how these numbers change over the next couple of years as they did adjust over these first 3 years. We also talked internally about, you know, is it necessary or is it important to make changes right now? And what we've certainly learned from other experiences and other adjustments we've made in years past, change can be good, and a lot of people don't like change either. Now, is 3 years enough to make a final decision? Should we make a change? And I'll leave that up to you folks as the final decision body on this. Our perspective is 3 years is a short time frame. We didn't commit to making any changes at 3 years. We committed to evaluating and assessing it, and that's what we've done by trying to provide some of that data and information to you. Again, our recommendation is we leave it as it is right now. We continue to monitor it year by year, give it a couple more years. When we do the updating of the deer management plan, obviously these types of discussions are going to be part of it. We're going to talk about management objectives. Maybe we talk about new strategies, other season structure pieces of it, preference points, you name it. But we know we also need to obtain more information from our users out there as well. And we do get a lot of information from those folks, just as Commissioner Sharp has shared with us here in recent days also, and some of the individuals that you know, to have those discussions, and we will put together a deer stakeholder group as well when we start working on that revision. So, Mr. Chairman and members of the commission, these are always great discussions around the structures and drawings and how they work and how they don't work and all that. We have over 50,000 people that want to go deer hunting, and a lot of those folks get to go. Some people are more successful than others, and there's sometimes very good reasons for having a higher success of drawing a license than others. And so there's a lot of pieces and a lot of moving parts to this. And so, again, we'd recommend we stay as the course as we are right now, evaluate, and we'll continue those conversations, discussion with our users and you, and we'll go year to year from right now.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Andrew, for your report as well. Appreciate the time you put into that.